والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله ومن ولا وبعد. This is our 18th session for Basic Arabic Grammar Review. And today, inshallah, we're going to complete the topic that we've been dealing with for the past few sessions, that is the simple grammatical analysis of sentences. Anyway, a couple of examples remaining on page 26. We're going to complete that, and as I mentioned last week, we're going to start a new topic today. And that topic is dealing with the singular, dual, and plural of nouns. Any of the singular form of nouns, masculine and feminine, duals, masculine and feminine, and sound masculine plurals and sound feminine plurals. And the next topic after that we're going to deal after this, we're going to deal with broken plurals, which is a whole topic in and of itself. But for today, inshallah, we're going to look at the difference between nouns when they are singular, when they are dual, and when they are plural. But plural here we mean the sound plural, sound masculine plural and sound feminine plural. We'll talk a little bit about what that actually means, what's the difference between a sound plural and broken plural. These are things that we covered previously some time ago for those who have been with us from the beginning of the class, and perhaps, hopefully we have remembered what we discussed concerning these things, but if not, this is the purpose of the review. Before we start, Yani, you have a chance to ask a question. If anybody has a question from last week, from any of the examples that we dealt with last week, any question, or about the general topic of I'rab, Yani, the things that we need to focus on, especially Yani, keeping in mind that when we say I'rab, we mean Yani, that the mu'rab noun is the noun where its ending changes, the vowel changes from dhamma to kasra to fatha, to indicate its function in the sentence. Yani, its case ending. Is it marfu'un in the nominative case? Or is it mansub in the accusative case? Or is it majrur in the genitive case? So this case, changing of the case ending, alaykum salam, from the nominative case to the accusative case to the genitive case, or in Arabic, from marfu'un to mansub and majrur, is indicated by the changing of the vowel on the last letter of the word. These are the primary indications or signs of the I'rab. Of course, we said also that there are secondary endings, which may be different than yani just changing from dhamma to fatha to kasra, but the primary signs for I'rab are dhamma, kasra, and fatha. So, this is the most important thing that we're looking at in terms of I'rab, yani. What is the function of a word in the sentence? Is it the subject of the sentence? Is it the predicate? Is it the yani fa'il, the doer of the action? Is it the object of a preposition, object of a verb? We want to look at the function of a word so we can see how yani the case ending change and the signs change to indicate that changing. These are mu'rab words. We also said that they are mabniyun, yani words that are mabniyun. And mabniyun means that, what does mabniyun mean, by the way? When we say mabniyun, what do we mean? Fixed. We mean that the ending is fixed. And it doesn't change from dhamma to kasra or fatha. Rather, if its ending is dhamma, it remains dhamma in every case. Even if it's in the place where it should be marfu'un or mansub or majrur, it remains as dhamma. If it's fixed on kasra, then it remains as kasra, no matter yani which function it has in the sentence. So these words that are fixed in the endings, we say they are mabniyun. We don't say that they are marfu'un. Right? Words that are fixed endings, we say they are mabniyun in the place where it should be marfu', or in the place where it should be majrur or mansub. Fi mahalli raf, or fi mahalli jar, or fi mahalli nasb. The main things that we've been looking at are first, yani the nominative sentence, which is composed of al-mubtada or al-khabar. Okay, al-mubtada, we're saying, this is the subject of the sentence that the sentence usually begins with. And the khabar, yani in English, is the predicate. It means what we want to say about the subject, what we want to say about it. Yani the masjid is far. Okay, the masjid is the subject. What about it? It's far. Al-masjid ba'idun. Subject and predicate, mubtada and khabar. So we the main thing that we want to look at is the nominative sentence, al-jumla al-ismiyah. And it's composed of two essential parts, subject and predicate, mubtada and khabar. And then we might also see some sentences, yani the other type of sentence, al-jumla al-fi'liyah, the sentence that begins with a fi'l, a verb, in which we're looking for two or three essential components, that is, the verb and the doer of the action of the verb. Yani the fi'l and the fa'il, the one who's doing the action, and there may also be an object of the verb, and that's the maf'ulun bi. And we said that each of these things, they have their case ending. The doer of the action of a verb is marfu'un with dhamma, and the subject and the predicate of a jumla ismiya is marfu'un with dhamma, and the object of a preposition is majroor with kasra. The object of a preposition, you say, dhahabtu ila al-bayti. Ila is the preposition, al-bayti is the object of the preposition, we say it's majroor with kasra. And the object of a verb is mansoob. Like you say, ra'aytu al-mudarrisa, or ra'aytu al-imama. Okay, al-imam is the object of the verb, the one that was seen, and the object of the verb we say is mansubun, and the sign that is mansub, primary sign, is fatha. So this is like a quick review of what we talked about in the previous sessions, and the things that we're looking for in any sentence, in addition to the dharf. I didn't mention the dharf, the adverb, like tahta al-maktaba, tahta al-maktabi, or fawqa al-sayyarati, yani the dharf, the noun that's following a dharf, is we say that it is mudawfun ilayhi majroor. Mudawfun ilayhi, its case is that it's majroor, it takes kasra as a primary sign of jar. And we also talked about idafa constructions. The first part of it is called al-mudawfu, the first part of the idafa construction, like the house of Muhammad, or the son of Ahmed, or any the key of the car. Any this idafa construction shows relationship between two words. The first part is called mudaf, and the second part is called mudafun ilayhi. The mudafun ilayhi is always majroor, genitive case. As far as the first part, it can have any case. It can be marfoon, majroor, or mansub, depending on what is acting upon it. Okay, this is a quick summary of what we need to be looking at when we look at grammatical analysis, or simple grammatical analysis of a sentence. And because our class is going to be shortened in these days during Ramadan, from 12 until Dhuhr, until 1:30, let's get right to the point and let's get busy. And by the way, all the classes will be shortened. The second class, the fiqh class, will be also shortened from 1:45 after Salatul Dhuhr until 3 o'clock. And the third level class will be from 3 to 4, and the fourth level class from 4 until 5. And this is a mercy from Allah, so that there's some ease in Ramadan, and also so people can get to where they're going. The people who are in the later classes, they might want to get back to their homes, to their masjids, or whatever. So, inshallah, we try to accommodate everyone by shortening the classes in Ramadan. Okay, any question before we do the first example? Any question? Wa alaykum salam wa rahmatullah. Did you say yes? You have a question? Yes. Oh, okay, no problem. I thought you said yes. I thought you walked in the door saying, I have a question. Okay. Okay, we're on page 29. We're with the final examples of simple grammatical analysis of sentences. I'm sorry, 26. And we're on the left column. The second example. There are three examples on the second column, on the left-hand column. We did the first one in the end of the last class. And we're going to look at the last two examples on page 26. Page 26. Okay, the first example I have written on the board. It's a little bit lengthy, so I try to pay attention and make sure that we get it good. Okay, this is the example here, next to the last example on this topic. وَلِلَّهِ مُلْكُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَإِلَى اللَّهِ الْمَصِيرُ وَإِلَى اللَّهِ الْمَصِيرُ. What is the meaning of this sentence? Who knows what's the meaning? وَلِلَّهِ مُلْكُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. What is the meaning? نعم. وَلِلَّهِ To Allah belongs
the kingdom
of the heavens and the earth. وَإِلَى اللَّهِ الْمَصِيرُ. And two, Allah is the return. يعني المصير. يعني where we will end up. We will end up returning to Allah. وإلى الله المصير. Okay, this is the general meaning of the sentence. As far as the specifics of what we want to look at here, first thing we want to say, what type of sentence is this? Is it a jumla ismiya that begins with the ism, or jumla fi'liya that begins with a fi'l? Ism begins with a ism, noun. Walillahi, walillahi. This is not a verb, this is a noun, right? Walillahi. This is a jumla ismiya. So in this sentence we should be looking for two essential components, and they are, number one, first thing we're looking for in a jumla ismiya, al-mubtada'u. The first thing that we're looking for is al-mubtada'u. And the mubtada'u is marfu'un, nominative case, indicated by dhamma. Indicated by dhamma. The second thing we're looking for after the mubtada'u, al-khabar. Al-khabaru, the khabar, the predicate. The information that we want to convey concerning the mubtada. Okay, so these are the two essential things we're looking for. Everything else is extra. There may be a preposition, an object of a preposition. It may be an idhafa construction, mudhaf, mudhaf ilayhi. Maybe a dharf, yani followed by a noun, that's mudhaf ilayhi majroor. Those are other things that we might be looking for, but the essential thing is the mubtada and the khabar. Okay, so somebody tell me, where's the mubtada? Which word in this sentence, take your time, look at it carefully, which word in this sentence is the mubtada, al-mubtada'u, yani the subject of the sentence? Mustafa. He said mulk is the mubtada. Okay, let's identify this word here, mulk. He says mulk is the mubtada. Okay, does anybody differ with him? Anybody have a different view, different opinion? Ma ra'yuk? What do you think? What do you see? Huh? No, I'm saying if somebody differs with him, yani, of course we want to know if you differ, why you differ, what's the difference, and so on. Okay, let's say this is mulk, okay? Mulk, let's go with this, okay? It's the mubtada. If mulk is the mubtada, where's the khabar that we want to, what do we want to say about mulk? What is the khabar? Naam. Rashid, huh? Lillahi. He said that the khabar is Lillahi. The khabar is Lillahi. So, then what we are saying here then, in summary, is that the mulk belongs to Allah. The mulk belongs to Allah. That's the sentence. We're talking about the mulk, the kingdom, the sovereignty. And what are we going to say about it? It belongs to Allah. The mulk, Lillahi, belongs to Allah. Now, sometimes it's not unusual for the khabar to come first, as it is here. It's not unusual. Sometimes it's permissible for it to come first. It doesn't have to, but sometimes it's mandatory for it to come first. So this is not a case where it's mandatory for the khabar to come first. This is not a case where it's mandatory. But what would be the case where it would be mandatory for the khabar to come ahead of the mubtada? Now, Abdul Halim. If the mubtada was indefinite and the khabar is a shibba jumla, okay? If the mubtada is indefinite and the khabar is a shibba jumla, then it's mandatory for the khabar to come first. But here, is the khabar indefinite? It's not indefinite. It's definite, right? But it doesn't have alif lam, so how is it definite? Because it's mudaf. Yani any time a word is mudaf, it's definite. Okay, it's mudaf. The reason why it's definite is because it's mudaf to a word that is definite. Okay, so the mudaf, if it's connected to a word that's definite, then it's definite automatically by position. If it's connected to a word that's indefinite, then it becomes indefinite. Okay, the mudaf, we said that in reference to the idhafa construction, that the first part of idhafa construction never takes alif lam or tanween. So how do we know if it's definite or indefinite? Depending on the mudhafun ilayhi. If the mudhafun ilayhi is indefinite, it becomes indefinite. And likewise, the opposite, if the mudhafun ilayhi is definite, it becomes definite. So here, the mudhafun ilayhi is definite. So this makes this definite. In that case, it could come first. You could say, mulq as-samawati wal-ard lillahi. You could say that. But for some other benefit, yani the order is changed, yani to show what? Hasr. Yani to show that the mulk of the heavens and earth belongs to Allah alone. And it's not just that, the mulk of the mulk of samawati wal ard, that it all belongs to Allah, and maybe you want to say, and somebody else or something else? No. But by reversing the order, it limits the possession and ownership to Allah alone. Lillahi. Yani specifically, lillahi. Okay. So, that's the first thing, right? Jumla ismiya, this is the mubtada, mulk, this is the khabar, lillahi. Okay, what is as-samawati? We already mentioned this, but what is as-samawati? Mudafun ilayhi. This is mudaf, this is mudafun ilayhi. And we said the i'rab of mudafun ilayhi is what? It's always majrur. Mudafun ilayhi, it's always majrur. As far as the mudaf, it can be marfu'un or mansub or majrur. In this case, it's marfu'un, right? Why is it marfu'un in this case? Because it is the mubtada, and the mubtada, al-mubtada, is always marfu'un. It's always marfu'un. Okay. Mubtada, this is mubtada, this is mudafun ilayhi. And this waw is what? Waw al-atf. Al-atf. Waw al-atf. This is waw al-atf. Al-atf. Waw al-atf. Waw al-atf means that it's a conjunction that's joining something to something else. Nothing but awesome. Wow, what a word. Awesome. Mom is awesome. Yeah, that's right. You got that right, buddy. How old are you, young man? How old is he? 3? I wonder if he knows what awesome means. I don't think so. He said his mom is awesome. MashaAllah. That's a fact. Naam, طيب, this is mudaf, mudaf ilayhi, this is waw al-atf, it's a conjunction, right? So, what is the purpose of this conjunction? It's joining the ma'atuf, the word that is being joined by, to what's before it, right? So this means that al-ardi is being joined by waw al-atf to samawat, and samawat is majrur with kasra, so al-ard also has to be majrur with kasra. After that, we have something else here. We have another waw, al-atf. Another atf here. And it brings us to what? Another sentence in and of itself. This is actually another sentence in and of itself. Okay, this waw is joining us to joining another sentence to our first sentence, right? And here we have a complete sentence. Is this a jumla fi'liya or ismiya, this sentence? Ismiya, okay? Ismiya. And where's the mubtada in this sentence? Al-masir. Huh? Al-masiru. Al-masiru. And where's the khabar? The shibh jumla ilallahi. Jar wal majrur. The harf jar and the ism majrur. Together it's the shibh jumla. We mentioned the word shibh jumla on this sentence, on the first part of the sentence. Lillahi. This is the shibh jumla. Yani harf jar li and the ism majrur. Lafz al-jalala. So this is also shibh jumla. We said that there are two types of shibh jumla, just for review, right? Two types. One kind is the jar wal majrur, the preposition, and the noun, the object of the preposition. And the other type is what? Huh? Adverbial. Adverbial phrase. Yani a dharf, and the noun that is connected to it, mudafun ilayhi. That's the second type of yani shibh jumla. Shibh jumla means yani resembling a sentence, but it's not a complete sentence. Okay, so it's either with a preposition or it's with an adverb. It's either with a preposition, prepositional phrase, or with an adverb, adverbial phrase. Okay, so here we have a prepositional phrase in this first part, lillahi, and another one here, ilallahi. Ilallahi. Okay, so the prepositional phrase, the shibh jumla, huh? Two types. One with the preposition and the other with an adverb. No, I mean, there's two types of adverbs, naam, but it's only, we consider it as one type. Okay, so here, we have another sentence here. This al-masiru is the mubtada. Mubtada mu'akhar is delayed from its place. And then we have the khabar muqaddam, coming ahead of its place. Muqaddam, right? So this is another sentence here. Al-masiru ilallah. إلى الله المصير. طيب, this is the basic breakdown of this sentence. يعني حرف جار اسم مجرور, مبتدأ مرفوع, علامته رفعه, the sign of it being مرفوع is ضمة. Okay, here we also have مبتدأ. مبتدأ is مرفوع, علامته رفعه ضمة. And then we have مضاف إليه مجرور with كسرة. We have واو العطف المعطوف. يعني this معطوف here is joined to here, both having the same case ending, كسرة مجرور, until the end of the sentence. Okay, so that's our breakdown of it. If anybody has a question, otherwise we'll look at what they have written here on the paper. Okay, let's see what they have written here and see if we get any clarification for this, or if we need some clarification. I mean, if something is not clear on what is written here. Okay, let's see. It says وَلِلَّهِ مُلْقُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَإِلَى اللَّهِ الْمَصِيرُ. Wow, the first particle at the beginning of this sentence, the wow, we say it is harfu atfin. Harfu atfin. Yani a conjunction. Particle of conjunction. After that, we have li in the expression lillahi. Li is harf jarrin, preposition. And after that, we have Allahi, yani lafdhul jalalati, yani the expression of majesty, yani the expression that's used to refer to the creator of the heavens and the earth, the Lord of all the worlds. Naam. The lafdhul jalalati is ismun majrurun. Yarhamukullah. Is ismun majrurun. Why is it ism majrur? Because of the particle, yani the preposition before, harfu jar. This whole expression, the preposition and the ism majrur lillahi, is a shibhu al-jumlati, shibhu al-jumla, khabarun muqaddamun. Khabarun muqaddamun. Shibhu al-jumla meaning what? That it is a phrase, right? Here, what kind of phrase? Yani prepositional phrase. Okay, so this is a phrase, prepositional phrase, lillahi, yani is a prepositional phrase. And in this sentence here, this prepositional phrase, this shibahu jumla, is the khabar of the sentence. And what type of khabar? Khabar muqaddam. Muqaddam. Meaning, it's coming in the beginning first, instead of, yani it's being advanced to the beginning of the sentence, instead of it coming second, which is its normal, common order. So shibahu jumla, khabarun مقدمون. After this we have ملقو, يعني in the expression ملقو السماوات والأرض, we have ملق, which is مبتدا مؤخر. Okay, it's the مبتدا, the subject, but it's delayed. It's not coming first where it normally should come. It's مؤخر, being delayed. وهو مضاف. It's the مبتدا مؤخر, and it's also مضاف, يعني it's the first part of an إضافة construction. It's the first part of a construct phrase. وهو مضاف. And السماواتي is مضاف إليه مجرور. يعني the second part of the إضافة construction is called مضاف إليه, and it's always مجرور. After this we have واو, again حرف عطف, يعني conjunction. And we have, يعني what is being connected by it is the word أرضي. And this أرض is اسم مجرور. Why is it مجرور? Because it's معطوف على السماوات. Because it's معطوف على السماوات. معطوف على السماوات mean it's connected, it's joined to السماوات by the conjunction واو. The conjunction واو is joining أرض to السماوات. So we say this is معطوف عليه. يعني على what? على السماوات. So the معطوف عليه always have to have the same case ending as the thing that is connected to, right? So as-samawati is majrur, so al-ard is also majrur. After this we have ila, which is harfu jarrin, preposition. And we have again Allah, lafdhu al-jalalati ismun majrurun. Yani why is it majrur? Because of it being the object of a preposition, ila, ila Allahi. And the whole expression, yani the phrase إِلَى اللَّهِ is a shibhu al-jumla khabarun muqaddam. Again, it's a predicate, that is being advanced ahead of its place, coming first. So we say it's khabarun muqaddamun. Muqaddam means it's advanced ahead of its place. And then we have the last word, al-masiru, which is mubtada'un muakharun. Yani the subject of the sentence being delayed. Yani akhara, from akhara yuakhiru, muakharun. Yani the ism maf'ul. Muakharun. Muakhirun with kasra would be ism fa'il. The one that causes something to be delayed. Now, any question about this example? Any question? All right, let's go on to the last example, which is a short one, right? فيها كتب قيمة. فيها كتب قيمة. في is حرف جر preposition. ها is اسم مجرور. What do we want to say about this here? This ha. Fiha. About the i'rab of ha. It's written here, it's ism majroor. What can we say about it? Make it more clear and more specific and more precise. It's a pronoun, a dhamir, and all pronouns are mabniyun. It's mabniyun. Fiha. Ha is a pronoun. Okay? Ism majroor is general. General. Okay? Yes. Because pronouns come under ism, right? But specifically, what type of ism? A pronoun, dhamir. And pronouns, unlike common nouns and proper nouns, pronouns are mabniyun. They are fixed. They don't change the ending. So we don't say it is majroor, but more correctly, more specifically or accurately, we say that it is mabniyun fi mahalli jar. Not majroor. Yani, we say it what? Mabniyun. في محل جر. يعني if a word is مجرور or it's in the place where it should be مجرور but it's مبنيون, we say مبنيون في محل جر, in the place where it should be مجرور. Now after this we have فيها, the entire expression فيها, يعني the preposition and the pronoun that's connected to it in إضافة, is شبه جملة خبر مقدم. Again it's خبر but it's advanced, it's coming first instead of second. Okay, the normal order is mubtada and then khabar. But here we have khabar and then mubtada. So we say that this type of khabar, when it's coming first, is muqaddam. With fatha, not with kasra. Muqaddam. Advanced khabar. Kutubun is mubtada'un muakharun. Mubtada'un, yani the subject that is being delayed. It's not coming in the first part of the sentence, coming as the second part. So it is delayed. Muakharun. And then we have قَيِّمَةٌ is a na'at. It's a na'at. فِيهَا كُتُبٌ قَيِّمَةٌ. This is a very simple sentence here. Yani we have, here's the مُبْتَدَى being delayed. This is what we're talking about. كُتُب. What about the كُتُب? فِيهَا. They are in it. Okay? Here, this is a na'at describing what type of كُتُب? Yani قَيِّمَةٌ. What type of كُتُب? قَيِّمَةٌ. And the mubtada here is indefinite. So whenever the mubtada is indefinite, and the khabar is a shibah jumla, this is a shibah jumla, right? Prepositional phrase, fiha, then it's mandatory to reverse the order. And if the khabar come first. In this case, it's mandatory to reverse the order. In this case, it wasn't mandatory, but it's permissible. Alright, any question about this? That's it. That's a simple one, right? It's finished. Any question? This is the khabar, advanced. This is the mubtada, delayed. And this is a na'at, describing books. Qayyima. Normally, yani kutub, yani we said that in terms of na'at and man'ut. Huh? We didn't talk about that in the introduction to the class today, in our brief summary. We didn't talk about the na'at and man'ut. This is a very important subject that we took in this review, in this class, since we started this class. Very important topic of the na'at and the man'ut. The na'at being an adjective that describes or qualifies another noun. That na'at, it follows the word that it's describing. It comes after it in the sentence, in writing and in speech. It comes after it, it follows it. And it also follows it in four matters. And we just want to quickly review those four matters, meaning it has to be an agreement in those four matters. One of them being? Gender, that it has to be masculine with masculine, feminine with feminine. Okay? Now, the second thing it has to agree with it in.
Singular, dual, and plural.
Singular, dual, and plural. In number. If the man'ut, the word being described, is singular, the not also has to be singular. If it's dual, then dual and plural, like this. Now, a third thing? Definite and indefinite. Yani the not has to agree with the man'ut in being definite or indefinite. And the fourth matter is i'rab, case ending. Alright? So, in reference to that, we see that kutubun is plural and qayyima is singular. And kutubun is the plural of kitab. Kitab is masculine and qayyima is feminine. So these are not in agreement here, huh? Because we said that whenever we have plurals for ghayru akil, words that are describing any non-human, any animals or inanimate things, then plurals for ghayru akil, the adjective, we treat them as though they are feminine singular. So the adjective that describes them is going to be feminine singular. Mostly, there are some exceptions in the Quran and in the Sunnah, in Arabic language, there are some exceptions, but mostly, the plural for غير عاقل, the adjective describing it is going to be feminine singular. We treat it as though it's feminine singular. The pronoun, if there's a pronoun referring to it, it's going to be feminine singular. If there's a verb, then the verb is going to be feminine singular. Okay, everything that that relates back to it is going to be feminine singular. So we treat plurals for غير عاقل as though they are feminine singular. What do we mean by غير عاقل? عاقل means humans. And it also includes angels. And jinn, yani intellect, naam, intelligence, rational. And ghayru aqil means non-humans, animals and inanimate things. Or concepts and ideas also. Alright? Alright, so that's the end of this topic. And we're going to go on to a new topic now today, inshallah. Naam. Qayyima? Ma'ana qayyima? Yani, generally speaking, it means, yani, straight, right, correct. It could also mean valuable. Yani. But here basically the meaning is books that contain that which is right and correct. Now, no, in the context of it's not. It's not wild custom.
No, I know. The wild that came first in the sentence.
Is it possible?
No.
It's possible. Yani wild custom is used for making an oath, right? So, and it's possible. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the creator of the heavens and the earth, it is His right to swear by the things that He created. So He might swear by the heavens and the earth, the sun and the moon, the day and the night, whatever, as He wills. Naam, it's possible. It's possible. Naam. Alright. We're going to a new topic now. Today we're going to start this topic, and probably in the next class we'll hopefully finish it. It is, yani, looking at nouns in terms of the number. Yani, is it singular, mufrad, or is it dual, muthanna, or is it plural, jama'? Yani looking at nouns in terms of the number, singular, dual, and plural. Alright? We're going to look at these words, yani one topic at a time, singular, and then we're going to look at duals, and then we're going to look at plurals. But we're going to look at them, the singular form of the noun, and the masculine form and the feminine form, mudhakkar and mu'annath. Alright? But first we're going to look at the singular forms and see how they change from masculine to feminine. It says on the top of page 27, the dual and the sound, masculine and feminine plurals. The dual and sound, masculine, feminine plurals. Masculine and feminine sound plurals. Okay, so what they want to do here, they want to compare, or they want to see how a singular word, how it's changed to dual, and how it's changed to plural, sound plurals. Sound, masculine, feminine plurals. Okay, as far as plurals, we just want to say quickly, make a note, right? As far as plurals, plurals of two types, sound plurals and broken plurals. What do we mean by sound plurals? We mean that it is a plural of a word where the word remains intact, like the word Muslim, right? The word Muslim. The word remains intact. We don't change anything. We don't add anything to the beginning of it or the middle of it, but only we're going to add to the end of it. If you keep the word, the actual structure of the word intact without breaking up its yani structure at all, but just add something to the end here, like this, right? Then this is called the sound plural, because the word is remain intact. It's not tampered with at all. You're just adding something, attaching something to the end, like a suffix. So we have from Muslimun to Muslimuna. Muslimuna. And the same thing if we had the word mu'min, mu'min, mu'minuna. Kafirun, kafiruna. Like this. This is the sound masculine plural. As far as the feminine plural, then we have, for example, Muslima. Same word, Muslim, right? But we have, but this is a feminine word here, right? So we're going to have Tarmabuta on it. Muslimatun, Muslimatun. So the sound feminine plural is the same rule. It has to remain intact, okay, without breaking the word up in any kind of way, but rather we're just going to add something to the end of it. Okay, so what we're going to do here, this ta marbuta is going to be changed to ta maftuha. It's going to be changed to regular ta, and we're going to add here, and we're going to elongate the fatha before the ta marbuta. Instead of muslima, it's going to become muslimat. Muslimat. Instead of ta marbuta being on the end, it's going to be ta maftuha. Okay, so this is how we're going to do it. Like mu'mina becomes what? Mu'minat. Kafira becomes kafirat, and so on like this. Munafiqa becomes munafiqat. So this is what we're looking at in terms of sound plurals. The other type of plural is broken plurals. And broken plurals have many awzan, a lot of different yani patterns for them, a lot of different patterns. We looked at some of those patterns, I don't know how many of them, in the Medina Book 1 when we were going through it, maybe in Lesson 13, I think. We looked at some of the patterns for broken plurals, and that's going to be the subject that we'll take after this topic here. Okay, we're going to look at the broken plurals, but what we're going to say is, in the broken plural, the word is broken up. Something is added to the beginning, something is added to the middle. Somebody give me an example of a broken plural. Like, for example, the word kafir, right? Kafir, it has a sound plural, kafiruna, right? We could say kafiruna, but it also has a broken plural, right? Kuffar. Okay, so we see that the word, the kaf has aleph after it. Here the aleph is gone. The fa has ra after it. Here a letter is added. Shadda is added. Aleph is added. The word, the unit, the word in itself is broke up a little bit. It's not remaining intact here. Alaykum salam wa rahmatullah. Alright, so we're not going to go into a lot of detail about the broken plural here, but we just want to see an example of what happens with a broken plural. That is, the word is broken up. It's broken up. Like, for example, the word masjid. Right? Masjid. The plural of masjid, a broken plural of masjid is what? Masajid. So here we see again, any mim, seen, jim, del, the mim, seen. Something came in before, between the seen and the jel, aleph, and the between the seen and the jim, aleph came. So that means the basic unit of the word is broke up. Sometimes something is added to the beginning, sometimes the middle, sometimes the beginning and middle, and so on like this. Broken plurals. We're going to talk about that topic as our next topic. But for today, for this session today and next session, we're going to talk about the plurals that we're going to talk about here are sound plurals, where the word remains intact. And we're just adding to the end of it. Yani. Waw and noon, or ya and noon, depending on if it's marfoon or mansub or majroor. Tayyib. So this is what we're going to be looking at, and the duals. As far as the dual, the structure of the dual words, there are two ways that we'll see the dual word. For example, Muslim, we'll see it as Muslim, the dual will say? Muslim. Yani we'll add to it alif or ya. So it will become Muslimani. Muslimani. I'm sorry, Muslimani or Muslimani. Yani what happens with the Muslimani? Okay, what happens with the dual is that we add alif, fatta alif, noon, or fatta ya and noon. Muslimani, Muslimani. If it's marfu'un, yani in the nominative case, it takes alif. The sign that it's marfu'un is alif, so we're going to add alif to it. Muslimani. If it is mansub or majrur, we're going to add ya, it will become Muslimani. Muslimani. So this is basically, yani, what we're looking at. We're going to look at the sound masculine plural, sound feminine plural, and we're going to look at the dual. And of course, since we're going to see each of these words in their nominative case, in their genitive case, in their accusative case, then we're going to see sometimes, right, some changes taking place in these words indicating the change of the case from nominative to genitive or accusative. So that's what we want to look at in terms of the duals, and that's what we want to look at in terms of the sound masculine plurals and sound feminine plurals, what actually happens to them. Okay, so in this exercise, we're going to see some secondary signs. We're going to see secondary signs of I'rab. Okay, we always say the primary sign of I'rab of a word being marfoon is dhamma. Of a word being majroor, we say the primary sign is kasra. If a word is mansub, we say the primary sign of it being mansub is fatha. But then there are some words that have secondary signs. Okay? So, the masculine sound plural has secondary signs. Feminine sound plurals also have one secondary sign. And the duals have secondary signs in each case. Alright? So, we want to look at the secondary signs as we go through these duals and plurals. The singulars will have primary signs. But the dual and the plural will see some secondary signs. So pay attention to this particular issue of secondary signs. Alright, let's look at the example that they gave us. First, from the top of the page, it says the dual and the sound masculine and sound feminine plurals. Please change the following nouns into dual and the sound masculine and feminine plurals and put them into their cases as shown in the example. Okay, first thing, the example, and there's a lot of things happening here in this chart, right? So, if we look across the top of the chart, we see that there are three columns for masculine, from right to left, three columns for masculine, and then there are three columns for feminine. Okay, from the top, we see on the top of the chart, we see masculine on the right side and feminine on the left side. Under masculine, there are three columns. Those three columns represent nominative going down, accusative going down, and genitive going down through the singular, dual, and plural. Under feminine, we have the same three columns for nominative, marfu'un, accusative, mansubun, and genitive, majrurun. So that means, when we look through each category of a word, whether singular, dual, or plural, we're going to see the singular word, for example, in the nominative case, accusative case, and genitive case for masculine noun. And then we're going to see the same thing, nominative, accusative, and genitive again for feminine form of the noun. And underneath that, in the next box, we're going to see the same type of thing happening with the dual. And we're going to see, for a dual word, we're going to see masculine form of the dual word in its nominative case, accusative case, and then genitive case, those three columns. And then for the feminine form of the dual word, we're going to also see three columns, nominative, genitive, and accusative and genitive. Likewise, the last line, the third line going down is the plural. We're going to see the plural, masculine plural, nominative, accusative, genitive, and feminine sound plural, nominative, accusative, and genitive. So in the first column on the right-hand side of the page, we see, going down, we see singular, dual, and plural. Okay, these three words that come underneath there in those three lines are for singular, dual, and plural. Mufradun means singular. Muthanna means dual, and jam' means plural. Okay, so these are words that we need to know The singular is what? Mufrad. And the dual is what? Muthanna. And the plural is? Jam. Alright, so these words we have to learn. And if it is masculine, we say it is what? Mudhakkar. And if it's feminine, we say? Mu'annath. If it's in the nominative case, we say it is what? Marfu'un. And if it is accusative case, we say? Mansubun. And if it is the genitive case, we say? Majrurun. And we looked at these words, nominative, genitive, and accusative, Arabic words for them, in the beginning of this review. And I said back then, these words are written in your notes, and it's mandatory for you to memorize them. These are words that you have to learn in Arabic. Yeah, and if you study an Arabic book, that's all in Arabic, right? If you don't use the key for the Medina book, you're going to be reading in Arabic, you're going to see mudhakkar and mu'annath and mufrad and jam and muthanna. What do these words mean? So you have to learn these words. Very, very important. Yeah, and of course, it's more important to learn the concept, as long as you understand the concept. But if you want to read books in Arabic, and you want to learn Arabic grammar from Arabic books, then you have to learn these expressions. You have to know what is the meaning of muthanna, what is the meaning of jam, what is the meaning of mudhakkar and mu'annath. I mean, it's just like if you're studying English grammar, and you don't know when they say this word is in the genitive case. You don't know what does genitive mean. Probably none of us know what it means, right? I sure don't know what it means. But in Arabic, we're going to have to know what it means. Forget about English. We're not so worried about that. Unless you're still a college student and you're studying English in college, you might need to know these things. I don't know. When I was in college, I must have known it, right? But that was about 50 years ago. So I don't know it anymore. Okay, let's look at it. We have some young brothers here from Brooklyn College. That's where I went to college at originally, 50 years ago. Alhamdulillah. I escaped there safely. It was a different world back then. Now,
how do we call like sound plural in Arabic and broken plural?
Sound plural and broken plural. What do we call sound plural in Arabic?
Jam,
yani masculine sound plural. Jam, mudhakkar, salim, sound. Jam, mu'annath, salim. The broken plural? Taksir, jam, taksir. And we'll come to the broken plural after this topic. Okay, again, Yani, I just remind everybody that in Ramadan, you know, we have a modified schedule. I hope that we have your email address and you receive the email from us. I know some people don't look at their emails, but I did send the email out yesterday and I sent it again today. I don't know if it was yesterday or the day before yesterday, whatever, and I sent it again today to remind us we have a modified schedule in Ramadan. All the classes will be any half of the time. Okay, so just try to pay attention to that. It's very important in Ramadan, if you're going to be attending the class, that you come on time, because the classes are going to be short and you might any come half an hour, 45 minutes late, and the class is almost over. Taib. Okay, let's look at the example. Going across the first line, mufrad. Okay, for the mufrad, we have in the nominative case, and this is the three columns for masculine words, mufrad, marfu'un, muslimun. Muslimun. Notice that it's marfu'un, so the sign that it's marfu'un is dhamma, muslimun. In the accusative case, mufrad, mansub, we have muslimen. Muslimen. It's mansub, accusative case, so it has fatha. Fatha to indicate that it is mansub. And the third word, we have muslimin, with kasratain, muslimin. Muslimun. Muslimen, muslimin. Okay, muslimin means that this is in the genitive case, majrur. The sign that it's majrur is kasra. And again, we're saying the sign of it being majrur is kasra, not kasratain. Okay, kasratain is just, the tanween is the indication, generally speaking, that it's indefinite. That it's indefinite. But the sign of it being majrur is kasra. Okay, so a word that's majrur may have kasra or kasratain. That's dependent on whether or not the word has alif lam or tanween. If it has alif lam, it's going to have a single kasra. And if it has tanween, if it doesn't have alif lam and it has tanween, it's going to have a double kasra. But that is not the sign. The tanween is not the sign of it being majrur, rather, or marfu or mansub. The sign is kasra or fatha or dhamma. Okay, we're looking at the first example on page 27 of the mufrad, muslimun, muslimen. Mansub, accusative case. Muslimin, yani majrur, genitive case. That's for the masculine. For the feminine, we know that the feminine form of a noun is generally yani modified with ending with ta marbuta to indicate femininity. So we have muslimatun with ta marbuta and dhamma, nominative case. Muslimatun, muslimatan, accusative case, mansub, and muslimatin, genitive case, majrur. Any question about the singular? Yani the mufrad, masculine and feminine. Muslimun, muslimen, muslimin, muslimatun, muslimatan, muslimatin. By the way, there's a rule here that we just want to remind you about, that in Arabic, nouns that end with fathatain, two fatha, nouns that end with fathatain are always followed by alif. But here we see muslimatan has no alif following it. Why is that? Nouns in Arabic that end with fathatain, two fatha, must be followed by alif. Naam, Adam. Because nothing comes after tarmabuta. Yani, there are two exceptions here. And to this rule in Arabic, all nouns in Arabic that end with fathatain, there's an alif there. The alif is to remind you that if you stop on that word, then you don't pronounce the tanween, but rather you pronounce it as though it's fatha alif, elongation. Okay, so muslimen, if you stop on that word, you don't say muslimen, you say muslima. If you study tajweed, you know in the Quran it's like that. But if you didn't study tajweed, maybe you're not aware of that. Okay, so if you stop on that word, you pronounce, that alif is to tell you, pronounce it as though the fatha on the end of that word is just being elongated by alif. Muslima. If you keep reading, you say muslimen. You pronounce tanween, right? With the rules of tanween, nun sakin and tanween and so on. Okay? But this is just a point we're going to remind you that Arabic nouns that end with fathatain, two fatha, always are written with an alif following them, except if the word ends with ta marbuta, or if the word ends with hamzatul qat, that's preceded by alif. The word ends with hamzatul qat, that's preceded by alif, as in the word sama'un. Sama'. Yani, sama', if this had two fathas here, right, we're not going to put another alif here. We're not going to put another alif because it ends with hamzatul qat preceded by alif. Okay? Even though this alif that's not written is going to be pronounced if you stop on that word. Yeah, and if you keep reading, you're going to say sama'an, but if you stop on it, you're going to say sama'a, as though there's an alif there. Unlike the words that end with ta marbuta, if they have two fathas, we're not going to pronounce it with elongation on the end. Rather, you're going to pronounce it, and if you stop on the word, you're going to pronounce the ta marbuta as though it is ha, and you're not going to pronounce this vowel at all. And anyway, this is something that we learned in the beginnings, yani first course that we took, right? Learning how to read and write. And that is something that we may have forgotten. That's why I'm reminding you. Tayyib. Okay, these are the singulars. Now let's look at the muthanna. Muthanna, second column down. We see the word Muslim became muslimani. Yani with the alif added to indicate that it's marfu'un. That's the sign of it being rough. This is a secondary sign. In dual words, if it is marfu'un, it takes alif. Musliman. Wa alaykum salam.
In Arabic, in general.
Yeah. If a person study Quran, then they will be aware of this, right? But it's not only in Quran. That's in Arabic language. That's the way it is in Arabic language now. But of course, in Arabic as it's spoken today, the Arabs, they don't know Arabic well. That's a fact. So they break everything up. Everything they do wrong. The same way that English people don't know English today, right? I mean, that's the fact. It's not like I'm not speaking against the Arabs. I'm saying like people don't know their language today. English people don't speak English. They speak some broken something, whatever, and the Arabs do the same thing. So they might say anything, but we're not going to judge the language how it should be by the speakers of that language. By American people,
because sometimes
don't know English. I mean, yani these people are, you know, it's just their employment, you know. Yeah. But if you listen to scholars who speak pure Arabic, then you'll see it. You know, even some of the scholars speak their local language. Like if you hear some scholars in Egypt, they speak Egyptian, yani dialect. So they also destroy the language. But scholars who have respect for the Arabic language, who speak Arabic properly, then you hear it, inshallah. Huh?
What is called?
It's called what? Oh, you talking about the med here?
Right.
Yeah. Yani when you stop on the tanween, fatatain. Now, okay, here we want to look at the secondary signs in the muthanna. Okay, if it is marfu'un, we see it takes alif, and the next accusative and genitive case we see muslimaini. Yani muslimani when it's marfu'un, muslimaini when it's mansub, and muslimaini when it's majroor. So the sign of it being mansub and the sign of it being majroor is the same. It takes ya in the dual. Okay, this is a secondary sign. Yani there are different types of words in Arabic, five categories of nouns that have secondary signs. One of them is the muthanna. Okay, so the muthanna, dual word, when it's marfu'un it takes alif. And when it's mansub or majroor it takes ya. So we say muslimani, that means it's marfu'un. Muslimaini, that means it's mansub or majroor. Okay, going across, we look at the feminine form of the noun. Muslima, muslimatani, muslimatani, muslimataini, and muslimataini. Okay, muslimatani, the alif means that it's marfu'un, nominative case. Muslimataini, the ya before the noon means that, and it's either accusative or genitive. I hope this is clear. And we're saying the same thing in the feminine, in the masculine and feminine, dual, when it's marfu'un, it takes alif. Muslimani or muslimatani takes alif. And the same thing when it's mansub or majroor, masculine and feminine, it takes ya. So you say muslimaini and muslimataini. Same ya for masculine, same thing for feminine. Okay? In both majroor and mansub cases, it takes ya. That's if it's masculine or feminine. Okay, so for the dual, we only have two things here. We see it taking alif in the masculine and feminine form if it's marfu'un, and we see it takes ya in the masculine and feminine form if it's mansub or majroor. Alright, that's it. Alif or ya, that's it. Okay, so for the muthanna, that's all you gotta remember. That the muthanna is gonna take alif if it's marfu'un, and it's gonna take ya if it's anything else, mansub or majroor. Is it clear? Okay, that's for muthanna. Alright, now we look at the jam. Okay, we're gonna look at the masculine, three columns, and feminine, three columns. Yani the masculine sound plural. We're not talking about broken plurals. Masculine sound plural, we're adding wow or we're adding ya. Okay, if it's in the nominative case, it takes wow. The sound masculine plural, the sign of it being marfu'un, sound masculine plural, sound, a sign of it being marfu'un is a secondary sign. It's not dhamma, it's wow. That's why you say muslimuna, mu'minuna, kafiruna, munafiquna. These are sound masculine plurals. If it's mansub or majroor, then we say what? Then it takes ya. Then it takes ya. Muslimina. Muslimina. Yani it takes ya whether it is in the accusative case or in the genitive case. And notice that we said that yani, the dual also takes ya when it's mansub and majroor. But notice in the dual, before that ya, there's fatha. And in the sound masculine plural, before the ya, there's what? Kasra. So that's how you know the difference between the dual and the plural. Yani, both of them, when they are mansub or majroor, they take ya. But the dual takes fatha before that ya, muslimaini. And the sound masculine plural takes kasra before that ya, muslimina. Muslimina. I hope that is clear. Pay attention to the ya, yani that indicates that it's majroor or mansub in the dual and the plural. It's the same ya, but in the dual it's preceded by fatha, muslimaini, and in the sound masculine plural it's preceded by kasra, muslimina. Muslimina. Tayyib? Okay, so we have in the nominative case muslimuna with wow as the sign of it being marfu'un, and muslimina with ya as the sign of it being yani mansub or majroor. And then we have the feminine yani sound plurals, muslimatun. Muslimatun. Notice that the sign of it being marfu'un is the primary sign, dhamma. Okay? In the sound feminine plural, The sign of it being marfoon is the primary sign, the regular dhamma. And the sign of it being in the accusative case is a secondary sign. And in the accusative case, primary sign, a word, if it's mansub, we say it takes fatha. But the sound, feminine plural, when it's in the accusative case, it doesn't take fatha. It takes kasra. So that kasra is a secondary sign. The special what? For the feminine sound plural. It takes kasra instead of fatha when it is in the accusative case. That's a secondary sign. And then we see, yani when it's majroor, muslimatin, that's a primary sign, regular sign. So the sound feminine plural, it has two primary signs. When it's marfoon and majroor, has the regular sign, dhamma and kasra. But when it's mansub, it has a secondary sign. Okay, masculine sound plural has secondary signs for marfoon, mansub, and majroor. But the feminine sound plural only has a secondary sign when it's mansub. When it's mansub, instead of taking fatha, which would be the primary sign, it takes kasra. It takes kasra instead. Okay, if this is a review for you, then hopefully that's sufficient. But if you didn't do book one with us and you never saw this before, then please pay attention as we do the exercises. Okay, please pay careful attention. We're going to do a few of them before we end this session today. And in the next class, inshallah, we're going to do all of these exercises. Singular, dual, and plural. We're going to read through them. Walaikum salam. And we're going to pay attention to the I'rab in the next class. In this class, we'll just do a few of them just to try to get warmed up before we take a break for Salat. And then that will be the end of the class for today. In Ramadan, the class is from 12 until Dhuhr, 12 to 1:30. And the fifth class is from 1:45 after Dhuhr until 3 o'clock. And the third level class is from 3 to 4. And the fourth level class from 4 to 5. Naam, akhi. What's your name, brother?
Abdul Haq.
Abdul Haq, naam, yeah.
I have a question. For the plural, you said Muslimun.
No.
Why don't you say that we add Dhamma and Nun instead of saying Dhamma?
I'm not sure of the question. Just try it. Explain it. Ask it one more time. In the sound masculine plural.
Why don't you say that we add waw and noon? Because we're saying Muslimun.
Yeah, we add waw and noon. You're right. We do add waw and noon. Now, in the sound. Okay, thank you, brother. Maybe I didn't mention this, okay? I'm concentrating on the sign of I'rab. But he's saying, in the sound masculine plural, why don't we say we add waw and noon? Yes, we add waw and noon with fatha. Una, Muslimuna, Kafiruna, Munafiquna. We do add waw and noon. But the sign of I'rab is the waw. That's what I'm concentrating on because we're concerned here about I'rab. But yes, we do add waw and noon. Or ya and noon. That's correct. Naam. Jazakallah khair. Okay, so please pay attention. What he just said is that for the sound masculine plural, we're not just adding waw, we're adding waw and noon. Or ya and noon, depending on if it's marfoon or mansub or majroor. Okay? Pay attention. There's a noon added there. Okay? That noon is like the noon of the tanween in Muslimun. Yani the dhamma is the sign of the i'rab, and the noon of the tanween is not for the i'rab. The dhamma is the sign of i'rab, and the same thing here. The waw is the sign of i'rab, and the noon is like the noon in tanween. Okay, and that noon here in the sound masculine plural and the noon of the tanween of singular words, when they are put in idafa, that noon is deleted in both of them, and we'll see that later on, inshallah. Okay, so it's the same. That noon is, as he said, we're adding that. We're adding that along with the sign of the i'rab, which is waw. Jazakallah khair, Abdul Haq. Tayyib, and I need to put your name on attendance, Abdul Haq. You're going to be with us, inshallah. And by the way, if anybody is going to be attending the class regular, and you would like to receive the emails from the class, yani, because sometimes, like, today, you know, for Ramadan, we have a different schedule, so you could be notified of what's going on. If it should happen, وَيَعَذُ بِاللَّهِ, that I got so sick that I couldn't make it to class, I'm going to send you an email and let you know. But alhamdulillah, it hasn't happened yet. And no matter how sick we get, we still come. Hopefully, when you get sick, you will also come. Yeah, alhamdulillah, jazakallah khair. Because we're only meeting once a week, and it's very, very important. Unless you really can't make it, if you're sick, yani bear it, inshallah. You know, come now. Yeah.
Yesterday I didn't make till fasting, but this morning after fire for a while, I couldn't even make it to the bathroom.
Yeah. So if you're sick, you're excused from fasting, right? During your sickness.
No, that's the throwing out my fast.
Does throwing up break your fast? No, it doesn't break your fast. Yani, there's a hadith where the Prophet ﷺ said that if a person intentionally caused themselves to throw up, this breaks the fast. Even the scholars differ about this hadith. Some scholars say the hadith is da'if. It's not even sahih. But some scholars, a lot of scholars say that it's hasan. So if we accept that it's hasan, that's in the case that you force yourself to throw up. But not if you just throw up on your own, that doesn't break the fast at all. But even, I'm saying, even some scholars say the hadith is da'if. It's not even authentic. So even if you force yourself to throw up, they say it doesn't break the fast. In any case, that's a matter of difference of opinion. But the point is that as far as you just unintentionally, yani unwillfully throwing up, it doesn't break the fast. There's agreement upon that. Nobody says that breaks the fast. Now, and by the way, if a person is sick, yani sickness that prevents you from fasting, you excuse from fasting. You just make up the days later. You make up the days later. And hopefully before the following Ramadan, inshallah. No, the person who's sick, was a legitimate sickness and they can't fast, they just make up the days later, that's all. Just try to make it up before the next Ramadan, but the sooner the better. Now, if a person has a permanent sickness that they don't expect recovery from, then they have to feed somebody for each day. And this is the same case, there's difference of opinion about it, but I have to say this what is correct and most authentic is that the pregnant woman and breastfeeding woman, if they are not able to fast, they have to feed someone. They do not have to make up the days later. And this is what's correct. And this is the opinion of Abdul ibn Abbas and Abdul ibn Umar and others from the scholars who came after them. This is really the correct opinion. And it's narrated authentically from them like this in a number of narrations. Some of the scholars have mentioned them. And this is something that there's difference of opinion about. But what's more correct is that Allah doesn't make difficulty upon us. A woman, she's breastfeeding, and she's pregnant, and she's pregnant 1 year and breastfeeding the next 2 years, and maybe she gets pregnant again. How long that's going to go on? When is she going to make up those days? She has to feed somebody for every day. And this is what's correct. This is the opinion of Abdul ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma, and this is the opinion of Abdul ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, and it's narrated authentically from them in a number of narrations, clear narrations. And Allah knows best. I'm mentioning that because I know that we have sisters here, and we have brothers that have wives and sisters and daughters. And if that's their case, we don't want to make hardship on people that's not necessary. We don't want to make that kind of hardship on people unnecessarily. And even though there's another view, but this is the stronger view and Allah knows best. Okay, we only have a couple of minutes. We want to do a couple of these exercises just so that we get the idea of how it works. Try to do them for homework, and in the next class we're going to go through all of them bi'idhni Allah ta'ala before we go to a new topic. Okay, after the example, we have on line one, Mufrad. Mu'minun. Okay, we want to look at the masculine form of the word mu'min when it is mansub and majrur, and then the feminine form mu'mina when it is marfun, mansub and majrur. Okay, so mu'minun, when it's in the accusative case, we say what? Mu'minan. 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 And when it is majrur, we say mu'minin. And the feminine form marfun, we say mu'minatun. Mu'mina with ta marbuta. Mu'minatun. When it's mansub, we say mu'minatan. And when it is majrur, we say mu'minatin. Mu'minatin. As far as the muthanna, well, let's do another singular form again. Mudarris. Let's do mudarris going straight across. Mudarrisun. When it's mansub, we say mudarrisen. And when it's majrur, we say mudarrisin. And when it's feminine, marfoon, we say, we're going to put tarmabut on it. Mudarrisa, mudarrisatun. Mudarrisatun, accusative case. Mudarrisatan, genitive case. Mudarrisatin. And one more, mufrad, again, we're going to do muhandis. Muhandisun, when it's mansub, we say, muhandisan. When it's majrur, we say muhandisin. Feminine form of muhandis. What is the feminine form of muhandis? Muhandisatun with ta marbuta. Muhandisatun. When it's mansub, we say muhandisatan. Majrur, we say muhandisatin. Okay, just follow the example. Yani straight across. Muslimun, musliman, muslimin. Same thing we say. Mu'minun, mu'minan, mu'minin. Yani feminine, muslimatun, muslimatan, muslimatin. Same thing, mu'minatun, mu'minatan mu'minatin. That's how we're going to do it. Okay, as far as the dual, yani, in the duals, remember, in the muthanna, yani, we're going to have alif when it's marfu'un, and we're going to have ya when it's mansoob. So we're going to say Muslim, muslimani. In the accusative and genitive case, muslimaini. And the same thing for the feminine, muslimatani when it's marfu'un, and in the other two cases, muslimataini. Alright, so let's look at an example of this, the muthanna form of mu'min. What would be the muthanna form of mu'min when it's marfu'un? Mu'minani, masculine, mu'minani. Okay, accusative case, mu'minaini. Genitive case, mu'minaini. Now, feminine form of mu'min would be what? Naam, mu'mina tani. A genitive and accusative case, mu'minataini. Okay, let's do another muthanna for mudarris. Mudarris, yani dual. Mudarri, what? Mudarrisani. Genitive and accusative case, mudarrisaini. Okay, feminine of mudarris is what? Mudarrisatani and mudarrisataini. And the next word is what? Muhandis. Okay, dual. Muhandis masculine. Muhandisani or muhandisaini. Feminine. Muhandisatani. Muhandisatani and muhandisataini. Okay, let's just look at the plural quickly. Next week, inshallah, we go through this exercise from the beginning to the end of it. But we just want to do a sample today so you get the idea. So you could try to do it on your own during the week. You could try to do it at home during the week. Okay, as far as the plural, yani the first word that in the example they gave us, Muslim, right? So in the plural, it's either yani marfu'un, and the genitive and accusative case is the same, okay? So we have muslimuna, and for accusative and genitive, muslimina. So it's either muslimuna or muslimina. And for the feminine, we have musli, plural, right? We have feminine sound plural, muslima, muslimatun, or muslimatin. Yani the accusative and genitive case are the same. Muslimatun if it's marfu'un, muslimatin when it's mansub, and muslimatin when it's yani majrur. Alright, so let's look at the word mu'min, yani plural. The sound plural, mu'min, would be mu'minuna, and when it's accusative and genitive, mu'minina, mu'minuna, mu'minina. Okay, as far as the sound feminine plural, it would be what? Mu'minatun or mu'minatin for accusative and genitive case. Mu'minatun or mu'minatin. Okay, the next word, mudarris, sound masculine plural, marfu'un, mudarris, mudarrisuna or mudarrisina in the accusative and genitive case. Mudarrisuna, mudarrisina. And the feminine, mudarris, mudarrisatun. And the accusative case, mudarrisatin with kasra instead of fatta. And the genitive case, mudarrisatin again. Alright, so this is just a brief idea of how it looks. If we want to take a random word and we want to look at it in the plural, for example, we take the word kafir, right? Okay, kafir, sound plural would be kafiruna or kafirina. The same thing, muslimuna, muslimina. Kafiruna, kafirina. Like we have in the Quran, innal muslimina wal muslimat wal mu'minina wal mu'minat. Okay, these are sound plurals. Okay? So it's either going to be marfu'un with waw, or it's going to be with ya, yani mansub and majrur. And the same thing with the feminine sound plural, wa alaykum salam. It's either going to be muslimatun, yani when it's marfu'un, or in the mansub and majrur case, it's going to be the same, muslimatin for both of them. Alright, any question? Any question? The chart, and he gives us an example, and he for singular, for dual, and for plural. So it's incumbent upon you, look at that chart, look at the sample that they gave us, and see what's happening there. If anybody has a question about what happens when it is yani muthanna, dual, or when it is plural, sound masculine plural, or feminine, sound feminine plural, you can ask a question now before we take a break. Please ask a question if you have a question. Don't hesitate. If you're not absolutely sure, ask. Because maybe somebody else has the same question, but they don't want to ask. So somebody, you know, stand up and ask for us, please. Now, don't stand up, though. I mean, I'm sorry. When I was in India, I was teaching in one of the schools. They invited me to some schools to give lectures. And every time, yani, I would call on a student to answer a question, they would stand up. I said, it's okay, you don't have to stand. But they insisted on standing. Then one of the people told me later, no, that's how we train them. I said, well, okay, no problem. I said, you don't have to stand. They have to stand up when they answer a question. I said, Ajib. Yani, this is respect. For the
culture.
Yeah, that's from the. But I mean, you know, alhamdulillah, it's okay. You know, they're training them to have respect, you know, so it's good, really, because in America, we don't have respect for teachers, right? School system today in this country is done. Hanif could tell you he's a teacher for 25 years. I have no respect for teachers in this country now. Muslimani?
Muslimani. It's no sign of
Marfoon. Okay, Muslimani in the dual, okay, let's remember, okay, the sign for the dual, the sign for dual are going to be secondary signs. The sign for duals are going to be secondary signs. Okay, the secondary sign in the dual is when it's marfu and it's going to take alif. And when it's mansub or majroor, it's going to take ya. So the sign is Muslimani is the alif there. The alif before the noon. The alif that's before the noon. I don't know if I wrote it on the board. Probably I didn't write it. Okay. In any case, it's the aleph there. When it is mansub, it's going to take ya. And when it's majroor, it's going to take ya. So you say Muslimani and Muslimaini. Muslimani and Muslimaini. That's the sign. Okay. So we remember that the duals have secondary signs. They don't take fatha, kasra, and dhamma. And the sound plurals also, masculine sound plural, have secondary signs. Wow and ya. Feminine sound plural has primary signs when it's marfoon and majroor, but only when it's mansub, it has a secondary sign. The sound feminine plural has a secondary sign when it's mansub. Instead of taking fatha, takes kasra. That's a secondary sign. Alright, so please pay attention to the endings of the words and try to remember in your mind what's happening with them. Inshallah, in the next class, we're going to start with the first exercise, the first word that we went over today. We're going to do it completely. We're going to do all the singulars, and then we're going to do all the duals, and then we're going to do all the plurals. Naam, ashkurullah.
Sir, I just want to correct you on the dua of the Muminun. I wrote it as Muminun.
Correct?
Muminun?
Muminun.
Muminani? Mu'minani. Mu'minani. Now, with alif. When it's marfoon, it takes alif. Now. But if it's majroor or mansub, then it takes ya. Mu'minani, mu'minaini. Mu'minani, mu'minaini. Okay, we're going to stop here, inshallah. Take a break for salah after salah. And when we finish the prayers, inshallah, we're going to do the level 2 fiqh class for 1 hour, inshallah. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika. Shalom la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.